Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and along with me, as always, is the ferocious Fit Farm fanatic,
Bethany
McChesney. So right off the bat, huge controversy with you getting assistance in your workout. I mean, the video doesn't lie. It's all there. It's tragic.
Tragic. Yeah, that massive push.
Are you ashamed?
The massive assistance from the 50-pound child pushing the 150-pound sled with her baby toe. No, I'm not.
I thought that maybe you lost sleep and maybe you were concerned, you know, because this is a moral dilemma, I understand. Honestly, it was a lot of fun. It was great. People who don't know what we're talking about, look on Instagram. It was a bit of a joke. Actually, it was a huge joke. Bethany kicked my ass. Honestly, by like 2 minutes and maybe 2 seconds, 2 minutes and 2 seconds. I mean, she didn't use the man weights, but that's okay. That's okay. It's fine. You know, I've come to accept it. But a great little event at your gym. It was so much fun. Everybody had a good time. We had a blast and it was a great workout. I think really good prep for a DECA type thing.
Yeah, so we wanted to kind of mimic that feeling of a DECA strong event at the gym with what we have there. So that was kind of the goal of it, to get people thinking about that type of competition. So I think we succeeded. People had a lot of fun. They're really challenged.
How do you think, because I mean, we haven't done it yet. How do you think time-wise that would compare to a DECA? To a DECA strong, obviously.
Yeah, to the DECA strong. I think it seemed pretty comparable. I don't know, because I know the top times are around 12, 13 minutes. And that's kind of the way it was at the gym too with this one.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I can wonder about is with the bike and of course for us, the tank being kind of a unknown variable. Now this sled you set up, that sled drag was hard. That was heavy. That was hard. That was nasty. I think it was probably harder than the tank sled. I don't know if it was as long though.
Yeah, it might not be, but now the biggest difference too with the tire is if you could get it moving fast, you were rewarded exponentially. Because if it's kind of like when it gets stuck, to get it moving again is extra hard. So if they struggled on the tire, then they really lost time. So I think that will be a big difference.
And the difference too with the tire that you had it set up to, we always had to go backwards. So there was no break to push it forward. You were constantly working those quads with that kind of little back step shuffle.
Yeah. Anyway,
I thought it was a lot of fun. It was really well. It was a good workout. And again, you got to do the workout before me. You planned the workout and all that. So that's all fine. But all right. So talking about DECA, I'll just run right into Ryan Kent. So Ryan Kent, we had on just last week and he talked about trying to set the record for fit, strong, mile, all that. And we kind of got the feeling that he would really be best suited at the mile. And I think his confidence is there as well because he put a $500 bounty on his own head. So have you seen him? Have you seen that?
My mic shut off.
No, it didn't. I can hear you.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. My video won't turn on.
That's okay. We'll fix that after.
Okay. I did not see the bounty situation.
So yeah, he said for that event that he's going to do DECA mile, and forgive me, I can't remember where it is. I think it's in Colorado somewhere, but it's coming up shortly, I believe in September. If you can go to that event and if you can beat him at the DECA mile, he will give you $500. And then I'm not sure if they followed through with this, but DECA has mentioned that they may match it. So if you've got the ability and you want to try to take a crack at a grand, you know, head down to Colorado and see if you can beat Ryan Kent.
That's exciting.
I don't think you can, but maybe you can, Beth. I mean,
well, maybe.
So that was cool. I like that. I think it's great. I think it shows great confidence by Kent. And I think he is going to set the record for that. He had a good shot on the last one and just missed. So I really believe he will do it. One thing I wanted to talk about, and I haven't brought it up before because I was hoping to get these people on, but I don't know. They're not picking up the phone or they're not answering the email, but the Mud Hero, So here in Canada, Mud Hero is like our own little personal Tough Mudder. They have their first event in years set up to go September 25th. And that is in the Duntroon area where Spartan used to hold some of their races just south of Collingwood. And it's supposed to be a permanent obstacle course, which we do not have, as far as I know, a permanent obstacle course in Southern Ontario, do we?
No, not in Southern Ontario that I know of.
Me neither. And I look for these things. So
yeah,
I'm pretty sure we don't. So we don't have that. They've set it up. I did see today some pictures, still pictures of actual obstacles going up. So they are beginning to build. I'll be honest, I was by there one day when I was working up in that area and I saw nothing being built yet. So now seeing these pictures, at least they're building. That's good. But we had a lot of questions. Like, they were going to do a series over the entire month of September every Saturday. And now that just kind of gone away.
Yeah. I had some clients that were going to go and it just all of a sudden it was gone.
And did your clients get any info back? Like, because I heard someone, I knew someone else too, and they pretty much just said, oh, no, it's gone. You know, like there was no real answer to what happened.
Yeah, and that was all that we kind of heard. That's about it.
I don't get it. Like, communicate. And this is a basic thing. Spartan Canada has gotten a lot better at that, where they're communicating what's going on. They're telling people what's happening. All Mud Hero had to do was, well, one, take us up on our invite. We wanted to talk to them. Go on Instagram, do a little live chat, answer some questions. I sent them emails. I responded to some of their posts on Instagram. And I said, hey, you know, we got lots of questions. And, you know, they said, well, join our email list and that'll answer your questions. Well, Mud Hero, I've been on your email list for years. If it answered all the questions, I wouldn't have any more. So... And neither would the other people. I mean, people still have questions about refunds and deferrals from before. And then the new people who signed up for this series for deferrals to this and what's happening. We just want to help them. We want to grow this sport in Southern and in Canada, especially Southern Ontario. So like Mud Hero, talk to us, do something.
Yeah, and I think that transparency just builds trust in the organization. So I think if you're not going to be transparent and communicate properly, then people just might not have the same trust in you to do an event in the future.
Well, and if you notice too, they went with, so they had their original pricing when they did that, their announcement of we're going to have the series. And then they went to the one event.
Yeah.
And there wasn't going to be Mud, but apparently now there is going to be Mud. And I don't know. Like, I mean, this is, like I said, these are all iffy things. Who knows? And it's still, you know, it's supposed to be 40% off till the 20th. Well, that code is still alive and well. You can still use it. They put a post out today about 4 hours ago, still with a 40% off code, which to me says sales aren't going great.
Right. Yeah, they're pushing for numbers.
And I would think sales aren't going great because of a lack of communication. Because they put on a good product. You just need to talk to people. They are good, especially for new people. They're a great race. I liked that they had the idea of expanding and going to something more, to a series. I thought that was very exciting. Last pre-COVID, they were going to do this whole championship weekend, which was very exciting, where they had different race distances, like a 3K, a 100 meter, I think a full 42K. So, I mean, they have great ambitions, but I would love information. Transparency, right, is the best way you put it. Mm-hmm. So please bring that out. And then one more thing I guess we want to hit on before we get to our guest. You going to OCRWC?
It looks like, unless there's some miracle with the borders, we will not be going to OCRWC.
Yeah. And it's just, like I said, I think I've finally made my official decision that it's just not going to work out. And then to wait to the last minute, so we won't know for sure if the border would even open until the 21st of September. We'd need to be on the road on the 23rd.
Yes. And we're all at the point too now where with COVID rules and stuff, you can't really ever trust that things are going to open on the day that they say they're going to. So you're trying to make plans and travel arrangements, and for us, childcare, and we just can't pull that off with such uncertainty.
And right now, to be honest, our numbers are going up. They're talking more about shutting down more, not opening up more. So May 2022. Going to be in great shape. Ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad. This was really my A race, and it has been for the last 2 years. So it's really too bad that we have to keep saying, well, next year.
Well, and I mean, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. I mean, like, you know, we do. We have another year to get ready, another year to focus, another year to rehab injuries, to be prepared. Yeah, I think it's still going to be a great event, and I hope everybody has a great time. And
yeah,
you know, if you can get there, go. It's going to be awesome.
Unfortunately, they should just probably put an asterisk beside world asterisk championship.
Yeah, I agree. All right. And I mean, we could go on for days talking about OCRWC and all the stuff that's going on, but I think now it's important that we get to our guest.
Yes.
The one and only. Well, I'll introduce her in a second. Emma Cook Clark.
Yeah, that's me.
So Bethany, why don't you get started?
Yeah. So Emma, I'm very intrigued by your running background. So you ran collegiate track for Calgary. So you ran for the Dinos, and you had a lot of success there. So 1 year you were second at CIs, and you went to FISU, which was very cool. So I ran for Western about 10 years, I think, probably before you did. And I also had the chance to run at a FISU World Championship. And yeah, and then after you went on and you started to do some more mountain running and trail racing. So just kind of talk to me a little bit then about your running background. So did you run track before high school or university, or did you just kind of, were you a walk-on when you went to Calgary?
That's really neat that we have sort of similar background, and yeah. You went to FISU as well. Was that for cross country also?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Oh, sweet. We'll
have to. I was in Algeria, which was kind of a strange place to host a world championship because it was in the civil war. But
holy wow! I'd love to chat with you about that sometime in further detail. That sounds really like quite the experience. Mm-hmm. Well, I did a little bit of running pre-university, like just through high school, basically. Would do the odd cross country meet and the odd track meet, but it was always simultaneously with other sports. So I never committed or took it very seriously. And then, but knew that there was something there and some part of it, at least, that I enjoyed enough that I thought, okay, come university, I'll try diving in for a year. And if it fits, then great, I'll stick to it. And if not, then I'll go back to playing some of those other team sports.
So then you showed up and you were a walk-on.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe not quite a walk-on, but...
Yeah, so they knew who you were a little bit.
A little bit, just because I grew up in Calgary. So like the coaches from the varsity team were often at like club events, and one of them was a club coach. And so they would be at the provincials for cross country and stuff. So they see you and try and tell you that you should come to practice every now and then.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. So then did you have success pretty quickly then in university?
I think it was definitely like a pretty quick curve of growth, which is partly, I think, what encouraged me to keep doing it. It's because I saw that, things can kind of happen relatively quickly if you put hard work and dedication into it. So that was definitely encouraging.
So a couple of things, actually. What were the other sports that you said you were doing before you got to university? You were saying you were playing team sports.
Yeah. Primarily rugby and soccer in like throughout high school, both in school and then for club. And then I played provincial rugby for one summer. So those were the main ones. And then a few other team sports through school, but nothing serious. And then lots of other activities on my own time, more of the hobbies or what I was passionate about. So doing lots of things outside.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't rugby an odd spot to draw, track runners from? It just seems to me a little more.
Yeah. I think in some ways, but that's maybe the beauty of high school sports is you can kind of do it all. So you're not necessarily like perfectly suited for one thing. But the really cool thing about rugby too is how many different positions there are, and how like different body types and different strengths tailor to different positions on the field. So like there's a position that's called a prop, and they're the ones that are right in the scrum and they're like holding up the rest of the scrum basically. So that I would just be crushed in, but I mostly played wing and fullback. So that's like way out on the edge of the field. You don't get the ball tons. You're not really involved in those huge scrums. And most of the time you're kind of doing like one-on-one tackle situations, but you still can be tackled by somebody that's like three times the size of you, and vice versa. They might squeak through, and then it comes to you to tackle them. So it definitely is a bit more that than a straight up track runner, but depends what position you played.
So you came out of there, you went to university, and I was not a university runner. I was not of any kind of runner, but I do know that it takes a heck of a lot of training and you know, should take really quality training. How did you change your training style? Like when you got to university and then kind of got serious in the running, was that like a culture shock for a training perspective?
I think in some ways, yeah, the structure of it. But I was used to working hard and like really that's what I've liked doing. I think that was probably the most appealing part of sport, aside from the social and fun aspect, was that you just like go and you put your head down and you work hard and you improve and you just get to challenge yourself all throughout. So hard work wasn't foreign to me, but possibly the like structure and consistency more so was the change. I think maybe culture shock, but I was pleasantly surprised by how interesting it actually was. I think prior, I thought running would just be so boring. All you do is go and run. But I mean, that is what you do. You do run a lot, but there's so many different ways to achieve what you're trying to get. And it's not just going out for the same run every single day. You're doing intervals or tempo runs or long runs or easy runs or cross training, and you're going with different people. So it actually was a lot more interesting than I thought.
So I'm always interested about people's experience with university track running, because I grew up in the track world, and I had a lot of friends who went to university for track and a lot went stateside. And I was always amazed at the runners that could come out of university healthy and happy and still loving to run, because I did find the university world just really could tear people apart. And a lot of coaches had very short focuses, and there was like my team was rampant with eating disorder, and almost all of the girls I ran with were broken and damaged by the end. And so very few of them could keep going on. And so when someone comes out of university and we just interviewed Julianne Stolle, who you've raced against as well. And she's local now to me, and she came out and she was stronger and healthier. And so, and yourself as well, you came out and you performed really well out in the mountain racing scene. So what was the environment like then at your university that kind of fostered that strength building and long-term development?
I was quite fortunate, I'd say, to be involved in a fairly healthy dynamic. It is shocking how common like that the story that you share is, where there's like eating disorders and so many injuries and other like mental things going on because of how in some ways like toxic the environment is. And also you mentioned like the short term versus long term, and that seems to be the big thing as well. The coaches and my teammates, for the most part, it was like a pretty sustainable type of atmosphere, a bit more like laid back, it's just a different coaching style, and for some people it works well, and for others maybe not so much, or it might pull the most out of one athlete versus not so much for another athlete. But I really enjoyed it. I think it was really good for me. I think if it was way more strict and I was being micromanaged by the coach, I would not have continued at all. So for me, it worked out really well that I was able to, you know, still be committed, but I could live my life outside of running and school as well. I did get injuries though. I mean, that's just the nature of running. Yeah, the track was definitely harder on my body than cross country. And I think I just took things a bit too fast maybe when I was starting out on the track throughout the season. But overall, like I don't have any long lasting injuries from running, and I still have a love for it, which I'm pretty grateful for that. I don't know if it is because I started a bit later and I didn't fully dive in, but I haven't like burnt out from it or anything like that. So I think definitely helped having such a open coach that really fostered a positive dynamic.
Yeah, that's really good to see.
Mm-hmm. Now you finished, sorry, were you saying something, Beth?
No, go ahead.
So you finished university, you got done your running career in university. Where do you go from there? Because that's a lot of point where people drop off and, you know, all of a sudden they give up on sport or they move somewhere else or they go into something else. Where did you head after university? What was your athletic direction?
Good question. I didn't really know after university. I knew that I wanted to continue to compete and continue to run, but I didn't know in what capacity I wanted to do that. When I graduated and then I went back for, I guess that would have been my fourth season of Wildfire at that point. Maybe that was my fifth at that point. So Wildfire in Alberta. And that was always such a fun way to spend the summer after school. So that, even though it wasn't like competitive, it's still quite athletic. But then I had some shoulder issues, not from that job, from pre-existing things. And surgery was kind of on my radar, but I was putting it off because I didn't want the time that it takes to recover. I was like hesitant to sign up for that. It's like, okay, make something way worse in the short term, even though it's better in the long term. So I kind of was just like, no, I'll wait until I really need it. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you really need it. So yeah, I had surgery lined up for the December. So like the winter after I graduated university. So just tried to like maximize the time before that. Did some traveling. I'm like kind of bad thinking about the timeline of all these things, but at some point I went over and I did mountain running championships in Europe and some other running, and then surgery and recovery from that, and then have just sort of gotten back into it, but in a fairly casual way of wanting to stay super fit for the things I want to do in life and then also start competing on the side.
Now, I think that you might be being a bit modest when you say you sort of dabbled here and there and stayed fit. There was some pretty good accolades along the way, was there not?
Some.
Come on, toot your own horn. Get on the wagon. Let's go.
There's a few like events that I'm proud of, but I still, a lot of them I went into like partly injured or just not quite, mostly it was like not quite in the shape I wanted to be in, due to usually injury. And so I find that those are like, it's hard for me to be super stoked and super proud of them because it's like, cool, I got to this event or I got this result, but like deep down, I'm not like satisfied with it.
So what put OCR on your radar then? Because you are one of the people, who got selected in Nicole's dream team. However, unlike the other women selected to Nicole's dream team, you had never done an OCR. How'd you work that? I applied and was completely rejected. Not taken. I don't even think she took it seriously. I mean, I've been upset about it since. But yeah.
Are you saying that you identify as a woman?
I identify as a four-slice toaster.
Oh.
No,
yeah.
Apparently, according to Kraft Dinner, I identify as a family of four. So.
Yum. Oh, me too. I'm like a family of eight sometimes.
Yeah. So how did you get in? How did you get on Nicole's radar?
Yeah, I cheated for sure.
Excellent.
No, I had been thinking about doing some obstacle course racing. I thought that they looked pretty fun and figured I had enough transferable skills that I thought that I could, with time and training, I could be okay in it, you know, and also thought that I would have fun doing it. And so it was kind of perfect timing. I was planning on trying out the sport anyway, and then saw her project, and what she was doing really inspired me and really aligned with kind of my values. And so seeing her do that in the sport gave me even more respect for the sport and the community that exists in it. So that was like the extra urge. And I was super excited and had no expectation of being selected onto the dream team, but everything that she was doing towards it got me really fired up to join and to, you know, be part of this community in whatever capacity I could. So applied and was optimistic and got like more and more excited as the time went on. And it happened at the same time that I was like still pretty fresh in my new job, which is just a lot of relatables in the fact that it's male dominated for the most part. And so that kind of like fueled my drive as well. And I spammed Nicole. I did like this Instagram story. I'm not really much good at social media yet, but I like tagged her in like 10 different things of like, women can do this and that and that and that too. And it was really fun. So I think that like she saw that a little bit. And then Grit Coaching. So Jess O'Connell and Faye, I know both of them from Calgary and they're both really awesome. And I went for a walk with Jess and I told her that I'd applied and she said, no way, that's amazing. Nicole had asked them to help with it. And she was like, oh man, I'm so excited for you. I don't know what I should do. I don't know if I should tell Nicole. I don't want to be like biased or do something that she wouldn't like, but I might message her, who knows? Anyway, so I guess she saw some things that she thought could be promising in the application and decided to take a gamble.
If you're not using all your resources, you're not trying hard enough. So I think you did what you're supposed to do. And for those who don't know, you are a firefighter. That is your other job that you're talking as a male-dominated industry. And I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah. That just speaks for itself as to your toughness and grittiness.
Thanks.
So how was the process? You haven't done a race and you and Nicole are obviously talking. You're talking with the Dream Team members and you guys come to the conclusion that the best way for you to start is to go to a Spartan National Series in Asheville. So literally dive head first. Don't look for rocks. Just go right at it.
Yeah, that definitely wasn't the plan from the beginning. The plan was to try and do some Canadian races, you know, something that's a bit more close to home, kind of low-key, figure it out, learn a lot more about the obstacles and what the races are like, and then kind of progress and train those specific things, and then maybe try like West Virginia or something. But with the pandemic, a lot of the races in Canada were either canceled or postponed, and postponed like quite a long time. So instead, my first race was going to be West Virginia, August 28th, I think that would have been. And then just some other like life things were going on, and something came up for that weekend, but I thought, okay, no, I'll just stick with West Virginia. And then I was lying in bed one night and something had kind of like happened that day. And I just thought, why don't I just go to Asheville? Ariel had actually been asking, she's like, have you considered Asheville? I think it'd be like a good one. She was considering going as well, but she had done Utah. So ended up not going to Asheville. But, and at first I just wrote it off like, nope, can't go. I don't have time off work. And then Considered it a little bit more, thought about it, booked flights the next day, got coverage for work, and I think that was like a week and a half out or something from Asheville. I messaged my coach Jess and was like, what do you think about this? And she was like, yeah, great idea. But I didn't tell her the date of it, and so she thought it was like end of August. So that was kind of funny. That I was like pretty stoked that she was so supportive of it, and then afterwards she's like, oh wait, what, that's right now, okay, let me tell you like how to taper or something. So yeah, it wasn't the plan all along to do it, but things were just like getting on in the season, and just figured like what's the harm, you know? The worst that happens is I fail 15 obstacles and I get like lapped by the category behind me, like whatever, doesn't matter, I would learn a lot. And that's that was like my only real strategy going in, was to learn a lot. So it was fun.
I personally love it, to dive right in and go after it. I think that's great. I mean, clearly you have the skills to run. You could do it. I think it was a fantastic idea. I'm completely supportive. And as far as Ariel goes, she spoke to me before we were texting back and forth, and I was doing my picks for the event, as Jack Bauer has a contest where you pick where you think come. And she's like, you need to pick Emma. You need to pick her. She very well could win this. She is that fast.
No way.
So I did. So I actually did pick you for third. I did. You let me down a little bit.
Thank you. Okay. I know. I'm sorry.
Ariel did it to me too. She let me down too, but that's all right. Mostly just me. I'm really terrible at these picking things.
Maybe next time.
But so let's talk about your Asheville experience. You get there, and I mean, it's got to be a bit of a different, how does it compare to, say, you know, your mountain running, or is the whole vibe different for you?
Yeah, very different. I didn't know, like, it seems like such a tight-knit community, and sometimes when it's tight-knit, it can be hard to break into. So I wasn't sure how, you know, if I'd feel quite isolated or if I'd be brought in, but right away was completely brought in. Everyone's so friendly. Some of the other elite gals let me come and stay in their house they had rented. I did this like learn how to obstacle type course on the Friday, and everyone in that was so welcoming, so supportive, and so ready to like give tips and learn from each other. So yeah, that was like really awesome. That made the weekend in its own. And then the race part two, it was nice. It was like, I really enjoy how it's a much bigger event than, like, yeah, just I guess other events that I'm used to. And it's big for each person. Like, there's different categories, and each of those categories is like as exciting as the one that was before. So that was pretty cool. I think it's nice to get that perspective of, sure, I jumped into this big elite race, but like, this is just as big of a day for somebody in the open category doing their first race, or somebody doing their 10th race, or somebody jumping in the age group for the first time, or somebody who's battled some illness or injury or something else. And anyway, it just was nice. It's like a much bigger deal than just one athlete trying to run and do obstacles, you know?
That's a really great way to look at it. Like that. When you started the race, one of the announcers, I believe it was on the Spartan Actual, the recap podcast, thing. And Megita said, when in the absence of Nicole, we will see who takes the field out. And you went out comparatively very hot to some of the other girls, and just essentially you attacked. You went, well, what seemed like an attack. Was that part of your thing, or are you just like, I'm just going to run my race right off the hop, and if it's fast, it's fast, if it's slow, it's slow, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do?
Yeah, it's funny, I really did not have much of a plan. It was just kind of, I was just gonna like wait and see what the field was doing and see how my body was feeling type thing. Yeah, I just kind of like settled into what felt like a comfortable pace, but I looked around and thought, oh, I probably shouldn't be like out here on my own. I don't know what's going on. Like it'd be better to just like follow and do what the pros are doing. So I kind of eased off and then nobody came back up, and I thought, well, why go at like a pace that is not that much more efficient for me, when I could go and maybe gain some ground, because I knew very well that like the challenges were coming for me. So might as well just open it up. And it started out super flat and then downhill and like easy runnable terrain with simple obstacles from the beginning. So yeah, I just decided in that second, okay, just like do what's comfortable and take everything as it comes.
So had you gotten previous instruction on how to do the actual obstacles, or had you tried them, or was in that race the very first time you touched hands to any of those obstacles?
There were a few that were the first time that I touched them. Olympus and Stairway to Sparta, I hadn't touched before. And then the day prior on the Friday, I did that course. And so then I got to touch other ones that I hadn't before. So the rig and beater and all the carries, the hoist, like pretty much all of them. but there is a gym in Calgary that I was able to go to a few times that opened up prior to the race, after being closed for COVID. So I had some great tips there from some of the trainers. So was able to, you know, at least get a feel for what some of them will feel like.
And that was CoreFit, I assume you went to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good guys, good trainers,
yeah, it's people. Super great.
Yeah. I admit, so when I was watching the live feed that ORM put on, and I saw you get through Twister, and you got through Twister clean, and I'm like, oh yeah. My God, geez. You know, I thought you got through that. I'm like, this could, you know, Ariel could be a genius here. And then after that, you did get into some struggles. So what ones did you struggle with? And I do have to ask you this before you tell this. Have you ever done a burpee before? Because those were like some of
the slowest.
I'm trying to be, but those were some of the slowest burpees I've ever seen.
I know. I don't know where to start here. There's lots of things
I need to work on. Okay, what obstacles did you struggle with first?
So Olympus, I succeeded on, but I was really slow. So Annie caught me there. And Lindsay caught me as well, but she had to do a penalty loop there. But anyway, I was like happy to stay on it, at least.
That's a tough one, yeah.
Yeah. And then the next one that gave me struggles was the beater. I was super silly. I just like jumped up, touched it. I was like, oh, it's slippery. Jumped down to like wipe my hands off without even thinking that as soon as you touch it, that's commitment. So that's just like my own ignorance. And I felt silly for doing that, but whatever, like it's good in the end that I learned it then, and I'll never make that mistake again. and then, yeah, the burpee pit there was like, there's tons of bushes that have been beat down. So the ground was super uneven and it was a bit of a slope. And this probably sounds like I'm such like a soft, like, this girl tries OCR and she can't handle it. But anyway, I don't know what was going on. I don't know if I was like trying to conserve energy and go slow on the burpees, or if I just wasn't quite in a good headspace about them, or maybe I'm just like really bad at burpees, but I was not going fast at all. That's that. And then moving on, but I looked back on a few of the little like highlight videos or something, and I saw some footage and I was like, oh gosh, that's appalling. So I'll work on those. Don't worry. They must have been like 3 minutes per time, but I came out of them rested, so that's great. and then headed towards the multi-rig, and I was kind of like excited to almost redeem myself on that one. So as I came down the hill to look up at it, I like lost focus and stopped looking where I was running and stepped in like maybe a divot or a rock or something and twisted my ankle pretty good and was like on my belly. And so again, I just like, oh, you silly, why'd you do that? but was able to like keep going on it. But then yeah, on the multi-rig, I did it the same way that I had tried the day before when it was dry, which was like skipping a ring and then going on to the bar. And was just like way too fast. I shouldn't have tried to like be a hero in my first time on that thing. So fell off that and again was just like a bit disappointed in myself because I'm pretty confident that had I have taken it slowly and done more of the like lock off safe technique, I would have been able to make it through. And probably like, I don't know, I learned a lot by trying a fast way and falling off, but I think I would have learned a lot as well by doing a different technique and maybe making it a bit farther, but that's okay. Live and learn. Some more slow burpees. Those ones probably looked even worse. And then went up and then same thing on the monkey bars, just like slipped off right away. So that's something that now it's going to be my priority is to work on like things when they're slippery and just the feel of it. When you feel like you are slipping off and different techniques to combat that. Cause it didn't feel like a lack of strength. It very well could be on some of those, but I just need to be smarter.
I would say from the sounds of it, I don't think it is a lack of strength. I think it's just, you know, some inexperience on those obstacles. And now that you get that and then you keep going to CORE or wherever else, cause you did recently moved. Are you still in the Calgary area?
Yeah, I still work here, but I moved out to Canmore. It's like an hour away. Okay. That's where I like to spend most of my off time, but I'm still probably like 50-50, 50% Canmore, 50% here.
So with a little more training at the gym and on those obstacles, I think you'll have them down pat. Cause I mean, I did see part of your rig and everything. Yeah. No, it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. You're just not used to the wet obstacles and you don't get that in because they don't train that way.
I
think really you will do very well at them as soon as you get a few more tries at them, and I think even your next race will be a world of difference because you did have those experiences and you'll know going into it, it's like, okay, when I feel it and it's wet, I know it's wet, I also know not to let go and start again, and I think you'll do just fine.
Thanks.
After all that, you still did get quite a good finish. You came in fifth, was it?
Yeah.
So fifth at a national series race, which was your first ever OCR. And you failed three or four obstacles.
Three.
That's actually really freaking impressive.
Yeah.
Like,
really. That's just testament then to your running abilities. Slow burpees as well then and catching up after slow burpees.
Yeah, like yes. If you think about it, you did three sets of burpees, did you not?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 9 minutes if you were doing burpees. That's a lot. Like we cannot critique Nicole's selection, put it that way.
Oh, thanks.
Did the course suit you as far as running training?
I think, yeah, relatively. I think there's definitely an advantage to having a running background. A lot of different types of courses, I think, can suit me just because of that fundamental background. And doing a bit more mountain stuff lately as well, I think that can be helpful. the hill near the end of that course in Asheville, I was pretty happy about. And I think if it was a few times longer, it would have been even better.
And I think to me, to hear you say that actually will make some of the other female elites very frightened.
No, they know my burpees suck. They're okay. That'll take me years to perfect.
Did you hit the spear throw?
Yeah, but that's like fluke.
Everybody's supposed to miss the spear throw the first time.
I know. I cheated on that one too. Just kidding.
Whatever works.
Totally kidding. I don't know how to cheat.
I think I've seen tons of videos of Hunter McIntyre cheating on those spear throws. You're fine. So I guess my next question would be Red Deer, Alberta, in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Are you going there?
I am, yeah. Nice to have something that's closer to home for sure. I originally was going to try and do that, the Red Deer, and then there's one in Ontario as well. But with work schedule and other sort of training stuff and injury recovery, I don't think I'll race the super in Red Deer. I get off work that morning after a 24-hour shift at 7:30, and so just kind of need to prioritize at this stage what is most important. And as much as I'd love to go to every race that I can, it's also the first year trying it, and there's races like pretty much all throughout the year and in years to come, so just need to have a balance right now, I think. But I'll definitely be in Red Deer for the Sunday to do the sprint, and then I might kind of like do the open category in the beast to practice.
Nice.
So is that on the same day?
I think so, yeah.
Oh wow.
We gotta check the schedule there.
Yeah.
So you're gonna race the sprint and then do the beast for fun as a cool down?
Possibly, or yeah, we'll see. Still don't really know.
That will give you lots of time on the obstacles to practice, especially if you say you're doing the open wave, you can just, oh, that didn't feel right, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, I think that would be most beneficial at this stage, is just to get the reps on those.
Awesome. Is the Toronto event or the Blue Mountain events, is that still on the cards for you or no?
I don't know. That's sort of same deal. Like initially it really was. And then, yeah, these all just like line up at an inconvenient time where I'd have to take like one or two shifts. And it's a bit of a process trying to find somebody who's willing to work. So we'll see. It's not off the table, but it's not like 100% commitment. I haven't booked flights, we'll put it that way.
Well, see, because that's our backyard race. That's our as close as it's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, it's too bad you have a good job, because like when I was young, if I had something I wanted to do, I'd like crappy jobs and I'd just quit.
Yeah.
Like, I need this time off. You can't have it. Fine. I quit.
I know. Yeah.
So maybe.
Yeah, I feel. Yeah. I think so. I worked a lot of like seasonal jobs and contract work prior, and those, yeah, just be like, okay, sorry, I'm out of here now. Season's over, time to go take like 4 months to do whatever I want. But this job is pretty great. It ticks all the boxes, and I'm by no means complaining about like not being able to take time off work. I get a lot of time to do what I want, and it's a really meaningful job for me. So I'm super content, and I'll take whatever I can get.
So I guess I would say, what is the long-term goal for you then? This year's, you say, is the get my feet wet, learn year by jumping into the hardest race as possible. And then, so after that, next year and the years forward, is this something that you're interested in sticking with, like that you want to pursue the utmost?
I think so. I really have been enjoying that I can commit to it, but it doesn't mean I have to drop other things that I want to be doing. So by committing to this, by training for this, it helps my work. By committing to this, it helps my ability to mountain bike or paddle or to lift things around the house. I'm certainly into doing lots of outdoor activities, from mountain running to scrambling to mountaineering, biking, climbing, whatever. So I'm going to continue to pursue all of those, some of them in a competitive way and some just for leisure. And then simultaneously, I'm going to see what I can do with obstacle course racing.
Well, that's good because we have a thing where, like, as Canadians, we have Lindsay and Ryan dominating the whole thing, but they can't go forever. Lindsay can't go forever. So, and this is for you, Bethany, too, and Ariel and everyone else, the Canadian women, you guys have to step up so someone can take over so Lindsay can have a break. All right. So if you guys could do that, that would be fantastic.
I'm also much older. So
yeah, I know.
I feel like
I didn't say that.
Emma has a better chance at that.
But you look so young. You
got the young blood.
Yeah, you do look so young. You look younger than I am.
Oh,
you're just approaching your prime.
I like to think that too. Thank you. I haven't hit it yet.
Yeah, exactly.
She's being modest. She's got the guns, coach.
Will you guys be in Red Deer?
Yes. So
awesome.
I'm kind of in a not totally situation like yours too, but I'm probably going to be doing the sprint, also coming back from an injury, and I just don't want to put myself in a position where I'm in a competitive mindset and I can't step away if I need to. So
yeah.
But I really want to go. I love the community, being a part of all that anyway, supporting my friends. So I'll be there. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. It'll be fun to meet you in person.
Yeah.
I totally understand though, of like, as soon as you commit to doing the super race and like racing it and competing, it's so hard to like dial it back. And
oh yeah.
Like you want to rational even feel brain pain, is gone. You know, you'll just be go. This is all that matters.
It'll heal it later. It's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Movement is good for it. Which is definitely true in some cases, but it's also, I'm sure we've both learned that lesson a few times that like, it doesn't actually help to push it too early.
No, it doesn't.
I wish I could hear your guys' minds during the races where you're trying to logic yourself through that. That would be fantastic.
My crazy competitive brain.
Oh yeah. It's okay. We're fine. This is smart. This is a good idea. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's broken. It'll be fine. It just takes 6 weeks.
It's not going to be any more broken if I keep going fast.
Exactly.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, that's all I have for Em. Bethany?
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for joining us, Emma. It was so great to meet you and learn a little bit more about you. And we're really excited to meet you in person.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on and chatting. That was great. Sorry about the background issues and the Wi-Fi. Poor quality.
No problem.
But thanks for all the nice questions and discussion.